Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And this is Nerdy Boys Reviews, your weekly nerd podcast where we talk about the new and old in nerdy movies. Explicit content warning, material on this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. This content has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, and sometimes even crude, so you have been warned. How'd I do?
You did pretty good.
Thanks. Welcome everybody to our movie review podcast. We're here today to talk to you about Solo, A Star Wars Story. So if you haven't gone and seen that movie yet, you should do that because we will talk about very spoilery things here today.
Yes. So if you haven't seen it, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the discussion.
For the foons.
For the foons.
For the parotes.
Or things.
Yeah. So, we saw the movie on the premiere night, Thursday night, May 24th, which was last night for us, and maybe a different night for you guys. But this movie, going into it, you know, there wasn't really a lot of hype, really, right?
No.
You know.
I mean, maybe around the Star Wars communities, but really, like, outside of that, like, there wasn't a whole lot, like, of hype going into it,
right.
I feel like.
I think based on, you know, getting a new director pretty late on and all this, like, kind of dysfunctional news coming out of this film about how Alden Ehrenreich, who played Han Solo, needed, like, acting lessons and things like that to kind of get the feel for Harrison Ford's performance and things like that. I think it managed to succeed despite those things, you know? Like, I think it was a successful movie. I just don't feel great about it. Like, to me, this movie was just, it just was. You know, like,
okay.
It didn't do anything exceptional. Like, there was one cameo towards the end where you're just like, holy shit, that's awesome. You know, and there's, like, little moments where you're like, oh, this is really cool or this is really good. But, like, there's a lot of moments where you're just like, well, okay, this is pretty boring or, you know, this is kind of dragged out.
Right.
You know, and it's like, for me, I found myself thinking, like, don't dislike parts of this movie just because it's not something you think would be a Han Solo thing, right? Because,
right.
You know, this is not our finished article. This is not, you know, cynical Han Solo because he's been beaten down and now he's selfish and the Empire and blah, blah, blah. This is early Han Solo, cocky, just like, you know, he is
right.
In the future. Overly sure of himself, you know, for good reason. He's a great pilot. You know, this is our early version where he's a little more smug, a little more, I don't know, trusting.
Yeah, he's like a little bit more raw and new to the whole game of smuggling.
Right. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that really work, and, you know, there's a lot to enjoy here. It's just, my conclusion of this film is just meh. Like, it's just meh. If someone came to me and said, dude, what are you talking about? You're crazy. This movie's amazing. It's the greatest thing ever. This is great. This is great. This is great. I'm not going to argue with you. That's amazing that you think that. And if someone came to me and dude, I fucking hate this movie. This movie sucked for this reason. Okay, great that you think that too. I don't swing either way. I could understand both arguments, but I couldn't give you one of those arguments with passion or power because I just don't care enough, honestly. Like, that's how
right.
I feel about the movie. It's fun for Star Wars fans. It's enjoyable. What'd you think?
What do you think I think?
Well, okay. So if you guys are long-term listeners or if this is your first time, one thing you should know about Scott is he kind of dislikes the character of Han Solo for you know, very specific reasons, but he's never been your favorite. Like, I don't think you hate him. I think, you know, you just kind of like to talk shit about him, maybe to piss me off or to piss other people off, but you genuinely don't like him as a character. You don't like, I'm sure you're intrigued by the performance of Harrison Ford and like
right.
how the character is written. You just don't like that kind of character.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing personal against Harrison Ford. I mean, he did a phenomenal job, and like, so it's really hard to explain. Right. So, when I explain to people why I don't particularly like them, everybody looks at me like I am like insane and like disgusting. Right. Because it's like, okay, so let me just give you the backstory, right? So when I had first watched, like, it's not like I didn't really watch, like, the Star Wars when I was, like, a super young kid. Like, it was kind of, like, later into, like, probably, like, around my teens that I actually, like, watched it. Like, I've heard about them. I just had never really had, like, that intrigue in them. Like, my brother wasn't, like, overly into it, and like I kind of always like looked up to my brother and always wanted to be like do everything he did, and he wasn't like overly into it, so I wasn't overly into it. But like when I first watched it, right, and like I feel like I was old enough to like understand like relationships and things like that at that point in my life, and when I'm first watching Han Solo, he's just like this smug, cocky bastard, which is not a problem for me, you know, because I feel like I could be that same kind of person sometimes. But like where it really got me, right, and it's like it sounds so weird to say out loud, you know, because it's like we know the additional information of what happens later on in the story, but it's like when I first explained to him why I don't like that character, it because like I can't stand people who do this, right, as I don't like cock blocks, right, and I feel like Han Solo is like one of the most iconic like cock blockers of all time, and everybody just like is okay with it, you know? And like, cause it's like, I've had like those situations in my life where like, you know, people who at the time I considered really close friends had like kind of did me dirty like that, you know, in ways. And it's like, as you go on in life, you kind of just like forget it, you know, and get over the situations. But it's like, so it's like, exclude the information that we have later on down the road that Luke and Leia are brother and sister based off of just the first movie, guys. Obviously, I feel different about it now that, you know, I do have that information. Obviously, it's like everything worked out for the best, of course, because then it just would have been an incest story. That's kind of just weird. But it's like, so it's like, remember, like if you guys remember, right, there's like the scene where Han and Luke are like in like the cockpit together, and like Luke is like lusting over Leia still, because obviously they don't know that they're brother and sister yet, and like he's like super in love with her, dude, like just super like passionate about wanting to save this girl, find her and like save her, and he wants to like be with her and everything like that. And then, like, you, like, intentionally see, like, Han Solo, like, switch a gear in his mind. And you could see it, like, come onto screen when he's like, oh, do you think a guy like me and a girl like that? And he's like, he's intentionally trying to piss Luke off. Like, he's trying to get under his skin, right? And I just can't stand sneaky people like that, bro. Like, fucking people like that, man. Like, I fucking just hate them, dude.
So,
like, he's the same kind of guy that, like, I could be like, he seems like the kind of friend that would have no problem like fucking a homie's like ex-girl, dude. You know what I mean? Like, he's that kind of guy.
Here's how you have to look at it. Without any of that extra information, with right, what you're that, saying, right? You know, so, yeah. Look at it this way. Him and Luke aren't friends. He's doing this for the money.
Right.
And on top of that, he's not intentionally going behind Luke's back to try to get with Leia. He's not doing anything like that. He's not being sneaky in that way. He's just fucking with Luke, which is like what you do with me. Like, you'll intentionally say things
to piss
me off. And that's why you are like Han Solo a lot in that way. Han Solo, like,
wow, the disrespect.
I understand what you're saying, but to me, it's not a cock block because he's not saying anything to Leia. He's not putting anything in Luke's mind about Leia. He's just, you know, trying to piss him off like, oh, you like him, kid? Guess what, dude? I might like her too. What do you think?
Right.
You know, and Luke's just like, no, absolutely not. That wouldn't happen. And he just smiles like, you know, the cocky bastard he is. Because he knows he got to Luke.
But like, it almost just seemed like he only went after her in the first place just to fuck with Luke.
Well, I don't think he was going after her. He was just
I think he like put out the feelers and then like it developed into something, right? Like, that's how it kind of happened, right? But like, because, like, he didn't even like her at first. Like, he despised her as a person.
He still doesn't like her. Right? Even at the end of this movie, like, it's not anything, you know. He comes back to help Luke because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
You know, but when you think about it, in Empire, he's leaving. He doesn't really give a shit. He's going, you know.
Right.
And she's like,
I like the idea of, like, you know, the playboy, like, smuggler and stuff. Like, that's cool with me. Like, though there are aspects of, like, Han Solo that I actually do like, you know.
Think about it this way, right? That scene is pretty much you and I on a podcast. And you just saying shit, and then me getting angry, then you just laughing. Like, that's what that scene
was.
Dude,
that's never happened on this podcast, though.
Never. No, I mean,
like, I know everybody's like sitting there, like listening to us, like, this guy, like, Scott is just fucking insane. Like, what is he? I don't know.
I think you just view it differently. I don't view it
maybe
as
maybe it's just
a,
like
a
I've like
thing,
gone
you know?
Like through like those personal things where it's like I just don't like sneaky people, bro.
See, I think in your situation, like personally though, it's like because a friend did it to you.
like, and did where, it like multiple times.
Whereas
to me.
Like this, like Han and Luke aren't friends at this point. Han doesn't give a shit.
Yeah,
really about
I
Luke,
guess I
you
can
know?
Like I can respect that, right? And, you know, I guess they're really not friends at the time.
Yeah, and he really, I think he's not trying to cockblock. He's just trying to fuck with him. Because if he was trying to cockblock, he'd go to Leia and be like, dude,
right.
That Luke guy, when he came to me on Mos Eisley, he showed me his dick. It was like 2 inches. All right, you need
well,
to.
Well, there's
from
different
him.
Like forms of, like cockblock. There's like you know like pursuing the same person and stuff. It's not just like necessarily like. You know, going out and saying things to that person, you know? It's like...
Look, the only time I've been cock-blocked is when this girl at a bar was talking to me. And then this guy, he's not really my friend. He's just like a mutual friend of mine and some other people's. He just came up and started talking to her, like, weirdly. Like, and then she just left after, like, me and her were cracking on. And I was like, what the fuck did he even say to her? And then he was like, fuck you or something. I was like, god damn, dude. Calm your shit, dude. Like, to me, that's like cock-blocking, but... Honestly, I think Han was just like, he's just trying to get a rise out of Luke. He's just trying to fuck with him, yeah. Trying to be like an instigator, like a dirty little bastard.
Like, I guess, like, I don't really hate Han Solo. I kind of, like, you know, over exaggerate a little bit. You know, right. Maybe, right? I don't know.
But, you know, on the topic of this movie, you know, like, because of your tiny bit of distaste for him, you know, it was good for you to see him get his ass kicked over and over and kind of get, you know. All
right. You want the truthful opinion? I love this movie, actually.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because, you know, you see him get his ass kicked or whatever. But, like, there was, like, the one moment that I was, like, jokingly, like, you know, when he's like, I like looked at you and I like put my thumbs down when they're like saying like, oh yeah, he's the hero. And he's like, I'm no hero. I'm just like,
yeah,
a bad person or whatever. And I was just like, put my thumbs up.
And that's,
like I was kidding about that part.
Well, but the thing is, that part is one of the most significant parts of the movie. That is the thematic thing of Han Solo, you know,
right.
He doesn't view himself as the hero. He wants to be a smuggler. He wants to be an outcast. He wants to be on that beaten path, you know, like he doesn't. You know, and obviously we see kind of the end product of that when we get to the Star Wars films.
Right.
So.
Well, like, see, I loved everything about, a lot of things about this movie. There's obviously things I don't like, and I hate how they ended, like, that story, really, with, like Han being, like, the hero, essentially.
Right.
Like, I don't like that. You know, it's like, in my mind, up until, like, we meet Han Solo, it's like he's a smuggler. You know, he's in a lot of things for himself, and it's really like Leia that really persuade him into being a good guy. And I think that's the truth, you know? And like, I think it's, you know, it's not, I think it would have been a much better story if he ends up like pulling the ultimate heist and like tricks everyone and keeps,
the Quaxium.
Yeah. The Quaxium. I think that would have been like the best ending. Like,
I like how he walked away. You know, it was a little anticlimactic kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, dude. It seemed like I was just like, what the fuck, dude? I was like.
So some of the things, like, when you look at it, you know, we get him growing up on Corellia. I hate that they call it Corellia, but that is my my internal brain. You know, I think it's just inconsistent because even in all the movies, they say Corellian, and even in this movie, he says Corellian. But then they say Corellia, not Corellia. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
But whatever. That's fine. That's just me being stupid, to be honest.
There's a lot of things to, like, really love about this movie, though. Like, Corellia.
Yeah.
In particular is, like, one of the things, you know. It's, like, they really, like, reopen, like, slave world syndicate trading and all that stuff, which is, like, something that can be, like, interpreted, like, as a direction that they might go. Maybe, you know, it's, like, it does open the door for, like, a Darth Bane. Like, sort of world, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, and then
that's
when
very
you look
exciting
at the,
for me.
You know, on Kessel, you know, we kind of get, when you look at the first chapter of Darth Bane, he's on the planet mining, you know, for whatever they're mining for, I don't remember, but,
right.
You know, that's that. That's what they do on Kessel, you know?
Right.
And so, it's really interesting. And then, when you look at Corellia, and you look at what, you know, you learn about Han Solo, this is where he's learned all his cons. This is where he learns to be a smuggler. Like,
exactly.
You know, like, they're obviously kind of slaves, pretty much.
Right.
But that's their job, is to con people and you know, provide money and jewels and gems for the snake lady.
Right, she was fucking creepy.
Was it Lady Proxima? Proxima?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so, yeah, it's quite interesting. You know, there's a lot to like there. And then obviously, you know, something that I don't think we've ever heard or got a hint at in the Star Wars films, he joined the Empire.
Right. Yeah. No, which was great. Like, I think it just, like, expands and, like, enriches, like, the Star Wars galaxy. Like, you just get, like, a lot of new things, themes, and, like, textures. And there's, like, a lot of different, like, layers to the film that might not be so prevalent, like, in the forefront. But, like, when you really, like, think about it and stuff like that, like we're saying, like, the slave trading worlds, like, the, you know, the syndicates and stuff, it's, like, all we've ever really had for, like, syndicate-wise was really, like, Jabba.
Right.
You know, now it's like a prevalent theme. Like, it almost seems like this is how the galaxy is run at the moment. You know, it's very interesting to me.
Right. And then we also get, you know, our kind of Saw Gerrera type group, which are, you know, it's funny because they make it seem like, you know, obviously Han Solo is on this team. They're our heroes, but they're not. They're the bad guys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they make it seem like the antagonist is this group of people that really we find out are good people.
Right.
And they're like your rebels, your cell core kind of things, like your little rebel cell on.
Yeah.
You know, and they're starting the rebellion, which is really interesting. And then when they offer for Han to join, you're just like, oh shit, you know, like he had
and
that opportunity
turns it
already,
down.
And right. Obviously you turned it down, you know?
Well, like, see, like that's what I'm talking about. Like the ending, I feel like it was so like contrived in a way to where like, he turns down the material and like runs like in a contrived sense in order to set up for like the Han Lando rematch at the very end so he can get the Millennium Falcon. Like it just like seemed like super just contrived in that way. I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like,
I thought like him,
like I feel like especially like the way he's like talking and acting towards the end, it's like would he have really just turned the coaxium over like that? Like what reason does he really like it? And especially because he's turning down to join the, you know, the beginning of the resistance. It's like, why is he return like giving it up? But now he's like, no, I'm committed to being a smuggler, but I'm not going to steal this stuff. You guys can have it and have it for your cause, but I'm going to, you know, do this.
Right.
But it seems like so like, out well, of like, it just seems like counter, like, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Counterproductive.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean, okay. So he gets the coaxium, like a bit of it they give him, so he can go get the Millennium Falcon, essentially. Which you know is a great kind of scene where we see Han doing to Lando what Lando does eventually to Han in Empire, where he kind of fucks with him, gives him a hug. But like the turn in this is like he's like, oh hey dude, it's your little cheating card shit, and he fucking swipes it off him.
So, yeah. So talking about Lando, like, what'd you think of Donald Glover's performance in this film?
I thought he did a lot like what Alden Ehrenreich did. He had like the sense of certain qualities and traits of the character, but also not so refined. It's not exactly the same performance we got of Billy Dee Williams. It's not the same we got from Harrison Ford. But you know, it's smooth. It's interesting. He got a lot of the speech patterns right, but then said some things weirdly at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean the. It's Lando, you know, you can't dislike Lando, really. You can't dislike Donald Glover. Like, he's just amazing in everything he does, and I don't think this is an exception. I didn't think he was exceptional. I thought he was fine, you know, but, like, I think he was...
I think it was a bit overplayed. I think everybody's, like, buying into the Donald Glover hype at the moment, and, like, you know, I definitely buy into it, too. I mean, like, look at anything that guy's done in his career. It just turns into gold. Like, guy is just amazing at everything he does. And, like, I think people are just bought into it, and they're like, oh, yeah, he was excellent. He was excellent. But it's like, you really think about it. Yeah, he was good, but was he excellent, though? Like, I don't know. I feel like people are riding the wave a little bit on him.
To me, the only I think this might come off weird. The only performance in this movie I thought was outstanding was Chewbacca's.
Really?
Like, I thought the guy who played Han was fine. I didn't think he was amazing. Like, I don't think anyone was amazing. I thought, you know, they all did a good job for what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
But, like, I like the performance of Chewbacca. This is probably the biggest role we've had him in any movie.
What was his name? The guy that was teaching him how to be a smuggler. What's his name?
It was Woody Harrelson's character.
Yeah.
I
really liked his character. But, honestly, it's not a new role for Woody, to be honest.
Right.
Like, he's played that exact role a lot of times. You know, it's like the pseudo good guy, bad guy, sort of, like, gonna turn on you. Like, he played the same sort of role in the Hunger Games. Like, it was very weird, and like I was just like, oh okay.
Yeah. You know, so Beckett was the guy, right?
Yeah, his name is Beckett.
Yeah, and then, you know, and they made the stakes pretty high. Immediately, Rio died pretty much on their right. on their train heist. And
I like that little guy.
Yeah, he was voiced by Jon Favreau for you guys out there. So, who didn't know that. And then Thandie Newton played Val, who died on the bridge. She was the wife of,
Of Beckett. It was his wife, which was pretty sad and like was like kind of like tone setting a little bit there.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think both Donald Glover and Alden Ehrenreich, it's a weird name to say, they have like the swag and the smugness that they need. And they carried their performances well. It's just there was nothing special about them, you know? Like, in my opinion. Did you think like there was something, like anything extra there? Anything extraordinary? You think anything phenomenal, or you kind of think it was just kind of by the book performances?
I mean, for the most part, pretty by the book, but like Alden Ehrenreich, right? What is his name?
Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich, okay. Well, Alden, I'll just call him Alden, because, you know, we're good friends like that.
Or A.E. A.E.
So, well, basically, the guy playing Han, like, I felt like he really did well in that, you know, that role, considering like how iconic it is. It's like, you know, you could talk about Lando's iconic, but is like not as iconic as Han Solo. And like he took that on and he was able to like exuberate like all this like confidence and swagger. And, you know, he had like a ton of moxie, dude. It was quite compelling in that way. I feel like, you know, it's like in a way, I feel like he made the character his own, you know. It's like he took elements of like what, you know, Harrison Ford did and, you know, altered it to what he could do, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know what he would have had to have done like to make the role amazing or special in your opinion. Like maybe it was just the way that the film is written.
I mean, and maybe that's all he needed. Like maybe the subtleness of his performance is what makes it so extraordinary. Yeah. So here's something interesting I just found, right? Alden Ehrenreich was discovered at a friend's bar mitzvah reception by Steven Spielberg.
Ooh.
And the meeting with Spielberg led to acting roles on television shows such as Supernatural and CSI. So that's pretty interesting. I mean, hey man, anybody you want to invite me to their bar mitzvah so I can be discovered? That'd be great.
That would be awesome. I mean, yeah, I quite enjoyed the movie. I think maybe I enjoyed it a lot more than you just due to the fact that I had like low expectations of the movie. I thought the movie was going to be crap.
I didn't have high expectations either, to be honest. Like I went in expecting it to just be mediocre and I came out thinking, wow, that's kind of mediocre. But you know, at the same time, like I said, there's a lot to enjoy.
But maybe that's why you felt it was mediocre. It's because you're just like, there's two type of things that can happen, really. It's like when you go into an experience like that, it's like sometimes you like almost trick yourself into believing that's what it is.
Right.
But sometimes you can have like a certain expectation. Like I feel like I do is like I go in with a certain expectation, but I leave it completely open-minded and take it for what it was, you know, how I perceived it.
Yeah. I mean,
which I quite enjoyed it. Like, I had such a low opinion of like the character and like, you know, what was going to happen. And I don't know. I thought it was pleasant. I thought, you know, it did exactly what it needed to do.
Yeah, it was funny because during the movie, Daniel kept talking to me, which was fucking annoying as shit, dude. But then, you know,
why do we bring him with us?
I'd look over at you and you'd be like smiling or laughing, and I'd be like, oh, Scott's really liking this. Like, he's really enjoying it. You know, and I was just like, you know, I nothing made me laugh out loud. Like, nothing was like that funny to me. It was just kind of like generic Star Wars humor. But the movie did what Star Wars movies should do. They have humor, they have heart, they have a lot there, you know, and I think we agree like on some things though. Like the movie was slow in some parts.
Yeah. No, it definitely had its low moments.
Right. But we learned so much and it plays fan service to a lot of Star Wars fans, especially, you know, how is the Millennium Falcon the fastest ship in the galaxy? Well, they put fucking coaxium in it. Okay, guys.
Yeah. Like, they essentially used like NOS on it. Yeah. You know, they cheated in order to achieve what they, you know, they claimed their fame to, you know?
Right.
But, you know, yeah, no. Like, I, you know, I don't think it is, you know, by any like means like a 10 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10 or an A movie, you know? I think it was like a very, like, it's a good way to pass the time. I don't think by any means the movie will ever be perceived as a game changer.
Right.
You know, such as I feel Rogue One's a game changer.
Right.
So, like, I just think that this movie It's exactly what it is. It's a time filler for fans so they can finish up the saga. Like, that's really what it is to me. I mean, because we're not getting the movie this year.
Are we? Episode 9. No, yeah, we're getting next year.
Yeah, we get it next year. So they feel like they needed to put something out there. And then, like, I don't know if they necessarily knew what to do. And they're probably looking at the characters that they have available. And they're like, oh, like, you know, explaining a lot of, like, these, like, hints of, like, what they're talking about in Han Solo's past could make for a very intriguing story.
And it's definitely expanding on the Star Wars mythos, which is, like, always interesting, you know? And right. I think this is the green pastures for them right now, is this time between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. This is where they're doing a lot of their movies. This Rogue One, Star Wars Rebels on TV. This is what they're doing now. The Star Wars series by Jon Favreau is taking place in there, too. Like, So this is like prime real estate for them right now, is this, right. And a lot of people are interested in it, which they should be, I think.
Yeah. So look, this is what it is. It's the backstory to Han Solo. It's a deep space, like, old Western bandit film. That's exactly what it is. That's what it is. You know, you could take it, you could leave it, you can hate it, you can love it. It's completely up to you.
Yeah, I feel like the first act, people said, was slow. I thought the first act moved pretty quickly, actually. Like, it's quite focused. I liked it. Parts of the second act, to me, were quite slow. And then when you get into your third act, when you, like, I like the way that he learned from Woody Harrelson's character.
Right,
and I like the way that... he legitimately got Dryden Voss to believe that it was not the real coaxium.
Right, when
was. That was really interesting, like, how that kind of worked. Obviously, you know, expecting to be betrayed at some point, you know.
Right.
And
there's, like, very vague things, you know, which we kind of discussed, you know, in person last night with, what's her name, Kira, right?
Kira.
Oh, yeah, so you have, like, the Han Solo love interest, Kira. You know, they were raised together, and then they were separated when they were trying to escape...
Corellia.
Yeah, Corellia. And then, like, 3 years later, once, you know, Han becomes a smuggler, there she is, like, working for the crime syndicate. She's, like, very vague in, like, what she's done in her past, and she doesn't think that Han will want to be with her if, you know, if he knew the truth. And
well, it seems to me like she's moving on from him, too.
Yeah,
she's moving
exactly.
on from that part of her life.
Right, yeah. And... I think that she just has, like, there's things that happened in her life that just changed her, and, you know, she's power hungry now, you know, that's
right.
what it kind of seems like, but it is, like, very vague, and, like, you almost kind of, like, wonder a little bit, you're like, wonder what's kind of come of, you know, her, because, like, the big reveal was Darth Maul in the movie.
Yes, that's a big thing to discuss, but what'd you think of Kira as a character? Did you think she was...
I quite enjoyed her, and it's very interesting to me, right, because now where I'm getting confused is, where exactly does this take place? And, like, that's a big part of, like, you know, my thing for her is, like, where does this take place? Like, what happens to her? Like, you know, it's very confusing. Like, I did like her character, and she worked very well as a plot tool for Han.
Right.
And, but it's, like, his love for her, like, ran real, like, very deep, you know? It almost seems, like, very awkward that, like, he was, like, able to fall in love with Leia the way he did, you know?
Right. I mean, and it seemed like his entire motivation was to save her, you know?
Right, yeah.
Which maybe is why, when you get to A New Hope, even early into Empire, his goal wasn't to get Leia. He was never interested, really, in getting Leia. So maybe that was it. He's more reserved. He doesn't want to fall in love with random people. He just wants to kind of get his money, pay Jabba back, whatever it is, you know, and get out of there. It's always about the mission until Luke and Leia come along, you know? It's like... So that might play a role in why he's like that, why he doesn't just immediately jump on Leia, you know? And he's kind of very combative towards her, you know? I take orders from one person, and that's me.
Right. Well, like, it's just interesting. I just, like, wonder, like, where in the timeline this falls. Like, how much time from the end of this to A New Hope now? Like,
yeah, I think it's got to be about 10 years, you know? Like,
right. It's so confusing, dude.
Yeah, they don't really tell you, I mean... And maybe if I look into it more, I could find that information. It's possible that it's out there and that it's been confirmed when, how long before it takes place and things like that. It's entirely possible. But it makes sense. And I know, like, they're not canon anymore, but in the comic books, we find out Han Solo was married in the past before Leia and stuff. So, and then, like, it leads to this weird conversation where we're like, how old is Han Solo in A New Hope?
Right, exactly.
Is he, like, 40? You know, like...
This seems like a coming-of-age sort of story for him. Like, he must be, like, just barely 18, maybe 18 to 21 in this story at max, I feel like. And then, but then it's like, well, how much, how much time has passed in the film? Like, how old is he when it ends? Like, it's very confusing. Like, you don't really get a lot of that information, which I feel like can be vital information.
Right. And, I like that it's not Han Solo that kills Dryden Voss. It's not Han Solo saving Kira from his, you know, holding of her or whatever. She's the one who ends up killing him. She overthrows the chains of her ruler or whatever, you know, whatever have you, which is pretty interesting. What do you think of, like, the SJW arguments about L3 and liberating, you know, robots? It's funny to me because it's like she's the first free-thinking droid we've ever had, you know? Like, most of them are just programmed or whatever, and she's kind of programmed to be free-thinking and... You know,
right.
The best part about the character isn't that, you know, it's, I think that's just meant to be fan service kind of comedy stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, her navigation is downloaded into the Falcon, which is pretty important, you know? That's kind of the most important thing about her. And when I was talking about no laugh out loud moments, I'll talk about the funniest moment of the movie is when Han and Chewie meet. He's speaking broken Wookiee, you know?
Yeah, dude, that was pretty funny. Yeah. That was pretty funny. I mean, yeah, dude, I don't know. I quite enjoyed the movie for sure. You know, you just get like all the insights into like the mysteries of Han Solo, I guess. And, you know, a lot of the things like, you know, you always knew that there was like this weird like little like beef between Lando and Han, and you never know why, but now you know why.
Right.
You know, they've pretty much pulled one on each other.
So it's just curious because you wonder, does he ever see Lando again before Empire?
Well, probably.
You know, like, you have to assume smugglers. He does, right?
You know, but now Lando pretty much has nothing. He doesn't have a ship anymore. Like, I guarantee now he's going to go back into the smuggling business for good.
Right.
You know, he has to. And he already pretty much was back in the smuggling business. And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, going into the movie, Lando was the thing I was probably most excited for, and I think he was fine, you know?
Yeah, I think he was, like, fine, and he was pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I just think people have such a high regard and such a, like, an overly, like, nostalgic memory for, like, Star Wars characters.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard because when you grow up watching these movies, you know, you don't always remember your first impressions of these characters, you know, or what they even are over the years of watching. Because, you know, first time I saw these movies, I was like 3 or 4 or 5, whatever, you know. I was really young. So, you know, thinking on it, I'm like, did I ever really even like Lando or Han or any of these characters? Or, like, do I just like them now because of the nostalgia and all this other stuff, you know?
Yeah, and now, like, the whole nerd movement and things like that, you know, everybody who loves Star Wars.
Right, like, because I remember, you know, it was, what, 2 or 3 years ago when we were watching A New Hope, and then you brought up that cock-blocking thing, and I, like, immediately defended Han, and then, like, I was thinking about it, I'm like, well, am I just defending him because I love Star Wars, or is there, like, a legitimate reason to defend him, you know?
Right.
Like, is it just, like, is there a proper reason for it? But, you know, like, I think there is a legitimate reason to defend Han, to be honest. But I can't honestly say I've always loved Han Solo, you know? I can't say that. So, I mean, I think he's fine, and, you know, there's plenty of reasons to hate Han Solo. Hashtag, I know. But,
right, like, I don't know, like, people are like, yeah, like Han was my hero growing up and stuff. I'm like, what?
I don't think he's a good role model, to be honest.
Like, I can understand, like, the bad boy lifestyle people might idolize a little bit. Like,
again, he's very self-aware. He's not the hero of the story, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he becomes a hero, but he's not the hero, right? So,
right.
I don't know. But, yeah, Han Solo, he's an interesting character. I don't think he should be anybody's icon or idol or whatever, but...
Wasn't it really, like, Chewie that, like, in a lot of moments, like, kind of talked him into it? Like, I mean, obviously you don't know what they're saying between each other, like, you know, it's the Wookiee sounds or whatever, but wasn't it, like, a few times where, like, Chewbacca would, like, make a noise, like, in a moment where, like, Han was, like, unsure of, like, whether to actually keep helping them or just bail out on the job? Wasn't there, like, moments in there? Like, I don't know. I'm having a hard time remembering. Maybe I, like, need to, like, watch it again.
I think the only reason...
The Wookiee's the hero of the story.
The only reason Han Solo did anything in the first place is because he was going to get paid.
Right.
Like, that was it. 10,000, like, and that's Woody Harrelson as Beckett's role, pretty much. He's only doing this shit so he can get paid and get out, you know? And what's he getting out of? Well, Dryden Voss has a boss, apparently. Voss boss. Crimson Dawn. Who the fuck is Crimson Dawn, guys? Well, it's fucking Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Okay? It's 100% Darth Maul. You hear his fucking mechanical legs creak and shit, like, you know it's Darth Maul. This makes movie canon what we've known of from Star Wars Rebels, from Clone Wars, where we had him brought back to life and had his mechanical body and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want a sequel to this where we see Darth Maul fight Darth Vader. Can we get that? Is that a thing?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure that can happen. I think there's going to be, like, a lot of people, like, real confused about why he's there. Like, they're like, obviously not everybody's going to watch the cartoons. Not everybody's going to know that they, you know, the cartoons are even considered canon. And not a lot of people are going to know that he's brought back to life and everything. And I think a lot of people will be left feeling extremely cold to that.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I think it's, like, one of those big moments, like, what the fuck moments where, you know, it's surprising to me because Scott doesn't always do this, but occasionally there will be a big moment in the movie and he'll look at me wide-eyed and wide-mouthed like, holy shit. Like, and it doesn't happen very often, but I remember, like, during this movie, he did it, like, a couple times, and I'm just like, oh, shit, like, Scott's really liking this movie.
I actually did, dude.
I mean,
which is super funny, you know?
After the movie, I thought, I don't care if I ever see this movie again, or, like,
I would definitely watch this movie again.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'll maybe watch it once a year, but then today, thinking about it more, I'm like, I'm going to go see this movie again. I'm going to go see it in IMAX, guys. Like, I'm going to go see it in IMAX probably tomorrow or the next day, you know?
Yeah, probably. Let's fucking do it, boys.
Yeah, so...
Like, I'd be, like, interested, like, because I know, like, a lot of people are super torn, right, between, like, this movie. People either, like, there's not really a medium in here, dude. Like, people either, like, loved it or hated it, really. I think you might be the only person that is, like, in the medium. Like, I looked a lot online, like, on reviews.
I've seen one other person who we follow on Instagram kind of just say everything was just meh, pretty much. Like,
yeah.
Like, the same as me, you know, in a way. But, like... I can't passionately say, dude, I fucking love this movie. This was amazing. This was amazing. I can't believe they did this. This, whatever. And I can't say, dude, this movie sucked. It was shit. It wasn't. This movie wasn't bad. This movie wasn't anything to talk shit about.
I thought it was a good film, you know? And, you know, I'm not going to say it's a great film because there was moments where I was bored, dude.
Right.
Like, in the Maelstrom, that was, like, the biggest moment. You're just like, dude, can they just hurry this up a little bit?
Yeah,
like,
you know, when you talk about doing the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, which, you know, obviously is distance, not speed. We all get the fucking joke. But in this, it's speed, okay, guys? It's a made-up universe. It just felt like it was an eternity. like it seems like it was so long. I mean, obviously, maybe it was the jump, which was, like, the Kessel Run, you know, getting out of there. But, like, they were in there forever, you know?
Right, yeah. They were in there for, like, super long. And you're just like, what the hell, dude? And, like, I don't know. It seemed like all their, like, objectives, like, came, like, kind of, like, pretty easily, except for, like, the first heist that went wrong.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's, like, maybe the only thing we haven't talked about in this film is the Marauders.
Yeah, the Marauders are cool, you know? Like, and obviously, you know, I did mention that this seemed like they were our antagonists when they're really not. Like, they're getting Coaxium out of the hands of the bad guys and into the hands of the rebels. So
like,
they can
what do you think about, like, the reveal? Not that, like, that head person's a female. That doesn't matter to me. What I want to know is, like, about their motivations and stuff. Like, how does that land with you?
I think it's classic kind of maybe literature kind of thing, you know? It's
like literature it's, and like, you know, smoke and gun kind of deal,
the
like
idea, you know? Yeah, that
bait and switch.
Well, I mean, it's the idea that, you know, all these people came together because their people were essentially wiped out by this group, you know, Crimson
Dawn. Like, I mean,
whatever.
All you ever really know about them is that they're always like hijacking the hijackers, and you know, they just assume that they're doing it for gain and they're smugglers just like them. But they always refer to them as worse than smugglers. They're like pirates.
I think that it only works if you buy into what, you know, what we kind of bought into. Because we know Han Solo's our hero. Like,
right.
We know he's the good guy. You know, even if he doesn't consider himself a hero, we know he's the good guy. So we don't look at the people he's working with and go, oh, they're not really good guys. You know, they're like, we look at it as like, oh, it's a heist and they're doing this kind of against their will and all this stuff.
Right.
But if you look at it through the prism of these are bad guys, doing bad things, you know, then you can't look at the Marauders and be like, oh, they're bad guys doing bad things. You know, like, they're doing right. the same exact thing. So when we're looking out, that's where you have to kind of buy into the premise. And if you don't, then you're just like, okay, bait and switch, right?
Right.
But because if you buy into it, like, oh, these are our heroes, these have to be the bad guys, and then that reveal, you're like, oh, shit, dude. You know, it makes you question, like, why you ever believed that these were your heroes, you know?
Right. So. Well, I don't know. Like, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't land very well for me, and I feel like that was one of the weak points in the movie. Because, like, I also don't really agree with the ending, which I feel like is an additional factor. You know, I don't care that it turned out to be a female. Like, I love, like, that character, like, the head, you know, quote-unquote marauder.
Right.
And stuff. Like, she was really freaking cool, and I would, like, love to make that cosplay, to be honest. Like, that costume, dude, was freaking badass, dude.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. But I don't know, like, I was like, oh, okay, that's, like, interesting, I guess. Like, it's, like, something that I didn't fully believe in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I can see that. And I think it was an interesting twist, and it kind of gives you, this is where the rebellion started, right? This is how you start a rebellion. You have to kind of play down and dirty and do all this stuff, which makes sense, especially when, you know, we later indoctrinate Han Solo into the rebellion.
Yeah.
So
I guess ratings then?
7.
A 7?
7 out of 10.
That seems real high.
It's average. 7 out of 10 is average.
That seems high.
Okay, guys.
I guess it's just, like, confusing. Like, I don't know where some things land, like, on the number scale.
I'll just say a C. It's a C. A solid C, right?
Right.
Because for me, guys, I don't know about you, but when I went to school, anything worse than an A was kind of bad to me. Like, I didn't like getting Bs, you know? So to me, like, I don't think a B is bad. I just think it's, like, you know, good. You know, like, whereas A is, like, excellent. A is standard to me. It's the highest standard of what you can be. And B is, like, it's good, but it's not great. And C is just average. Just, you know.
Right. Like, okay, then I think I would say that it was, like, a B minus minus, if that's possible. Like, it's, like, a 7.8 to me. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, a little slightly above average. Yeah. You know, like, that's how I interpret it. But to be honestly, I expected it to be like a D-rated movie. Like, I thought it was going to be like a... Honestly, I even thought it might even be an F. Like, I thought it would be like below a 5. Like, I'm just like, oh, I didn't expect much of it. Didn't think like the performances would be as good as they were. And, you know, in my opinion, the movie worked very well. And I don't think it has to be a game changer in order to be like a good movie, you know? Like, I think people are like looking for like these super... like wow moments and things like that, but it's just a backstory.
Right. So, I mean, and obviously the biggest wow moment is Darth Maul. Like, to me, that's a huge reason to see the movie.
Oh yeah, dude. That like could like lead into spinoffs and other things as well, you know?
Yeah. And so, I mean, and we'll talk about the news more on our regular news podcast, but right before this was announced, the Boba Fett movie being done by James Mangold, who directed the Logan movie, which was great. So, you know, it's like kind of exciting, but it's another thing where it's like, do we really need this? Like, do we give Boba Fett credit just for looking cool, or do we like look at him and say his character kind of sucked? You know,
right? Like, I mean, he was definitely a badass in like the prequels, but well, like he was actually kind of garbage in the original movies.
Yeah, his dad Jango Fett, you know, from Attack of the Clones, was like, you know, he was cool, like, and everything. But then like Boba, like he's just a clone, and like he doesn't have the advanced aging and stuff like the other ones do, and all this stuff. And so we don't really know.
And he literally just falls into a hole and dies. Like, there's nothing like overly great. Like, they took the character and everybody loved the look of him, and they're like, dude, that guy looks so cool.
Yeah, literally.
And there was like a fan hype for him for no reason, and then they just kind of advanced the character and like made it more interesting than he ever really was.
Yeah, it's the Captain Phasma effect, but Captain Phasma also just gets short shafted. Like, she's nothing. Like, she looks really cool. Look at her awesome armor, blah blah blah. She does absolutely nothing in either movie, you know?
I think the Boba Fett movie could be really, really good though.
I think they can do something really interesting with it and make the character cooler, but then like, will it be less cool because you just remember blind Han Solo accidentally killed him?
right? Like, just kind of, like, threw him into the worm. Just yeah. Like, okay, this is so awkward.
So.
Like, he was, like, flying around, and he's kind of cool, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's dead.
Right. So.
I don't know. It's just so weird to me. I'm just like, I don't know, dude.
Right. So, off the top of my head, I will rank my Star Wars movies again for you and put Solo on this list. So number one for me is Empire. Big surprise.
Right.
Two is A New Hope. Three is The Force Awakens. Four is Revenge of the Sith. Yeah, I know it's pretty high on my list, huh?
Yeah.
Five would be Rogue One. Six would be The Last Jedi. Seven would be Return of the Jedi. Eight would be Solo. Nine would be Phantom Menace, and 10 would be Attack of Clones.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so hard, dude. Like,
my list
I don't
changes
know.
All the time. Like, if you guys remember my last list, Last Jedi was pretty high on it. Now it's pretty low. You know, like, I revisited the movie. There's some stuff to say on that eventually.
Wait, where'd you put Phantom Menace?
Second to last.
Second to
Nine.
Last?
Yeah.
That's real surprising.
Is it?
Yeah.
It wasn't a great movie. Oh, we also got a shout out to Aura Singh in this movie, that Woody Harrelson's character helped kill her. Aura Singh, you guys probably know her from the Phantom Menace. She was like shooting at the pod, right? Or she was like standing there. She's kind of like white with like this orange ponytail. Just look her up.
Yes. I know who that is.
Yeah.
I love the Phantom Menace movie. It was just the greatest thing in the world. Like, when I was younger, like, it was just so amazing. Darth Maul was super fucking cool.
Yeah. To me, Darth Maul is the best part of that movie. Like, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like, I love the pod racing in the beginning. Like, you know, discovering who Anakin is. And I don't know. I just, the movie worked so much. Like, maybe it was bad, like, writing or bad, you know, effects.
I think
or
that
whatever,
movie, when people think about the movie, they think about Jar Jar and they think about midichlorians. I didn't care. Like, I like Jar Jar as a kid watching that movie. I don't understand why he gets as much hate as he does. I understand some of it, but not all of it.
Yeah.
And with midichlorians, people just remember, like, that line about midichlorians and how they work and all this stuff, and they hate that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I understand, like, why people hate the movie as much as they do. I don't hate the movie. Like, I love all the movies.
Right.
I just think it's definitely one of the worst of the movies.
Yeah. Dang, I don't know how I'd like rate everything, because it's kind of hard to think
it's
about
hard,
right
yeah.
now.
You know.
So I think I would have to go probably Revenge of the Sith, number one. A New Hope. Probably Rogue One. Phantom Menace. Probably surprising to a lot of people. Return of the Jedi. Thinking. What was the second prequel called?
Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yeah, that movie was terrible. What was the other one called?
Again, you know, Attack of the Clones is that movie where you think about it and you're just like, fucking Yoda, dude. With a lightsaber.
That was like the best part about it, but I don't know.
But
like,
then you
just
think,
weird.
Oh, God, Anakin and Padme. Oh, it's torture watching this.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And then movies just fall in place somewhere, dude.
Yeah.
Like The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, Attack of the Clones. What's the other one called?
Okay. Yeah, so
I'm like having a hard time. It's been so long since I watched the prequels.
Okay.
But I do like Phantom Menace a lot.
Yeah, yeah. For me, Jesus Christ, why did I put it so low on this list?
What was my list before?
I don't remember.
You didn't write mine down?
No,
okay,
I wrote mine down for when we talked about it. But
the disrespect.
It was Empire, A New Hope, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Phantom Menace, Attack of Clones. And I didn't have Rogue One on there, but it's pretty high up there for me. Now it's Empire, A New Hope, Force Awakens, Revenge of the Sith, Rogue One. No, Rogue One would be above Revenge of the Sith. Then it would be Return of the Jedi, Last Jedi, then Solo, then Phantom Menace, and Attack of Clones.
Is that your list? Be easier if I'm like looking.
Yeah,
at them.
So Rogue One and Solo.
Okay,
are gone.
So I would be. Oh, I forgot about Empire Strikes Back. How was that number one? What the fuck, dude? Okay, Empire obviously number one, dude. That's why I was probably like thinking I just probably called it the wrong thing. A New Hope, Rogue One for sure. Phantom Menace.
It's something you'd like have to write down.
Honestly,
and look at. Like,
Solo.
It changes.
I'd put it in there above Force Awakens. Now I'd go like Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Attack of the Clones. So it would be Empire, New Hope, Rogue One, Solo, and then pretty much the same exact order of yours is Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, and Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
I regard the Phantom Menace like very highly because I just remember like I love the pod racing so much. And I remember playing the video game of like Star Wars and that pod racing game was so much fun too.
Yeah.
I love that fucking game. But like the like just like seeing Anakin like him as like a kid and like how he started off to where he ends up is like so interesting to me and like just like there's just so many things like I love about that movie. Obviously Darth Maul fucking such a badass dude.
Right.
Fucking fighting like Obi-Wan and what's his face? What's his name?
Qui-Gon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson.
I like Qui-Gon, yeah. Okay guys, here's the thing. These are the things I can't stand. You cannot say this movie is bad because we didn't ask for it. You cannot say this movie is bad because it's a cash grab. Those things may be true. We didn't ask for it, and it may be a cash grab. It has nothing to do with the content of the film. It has nothing to do with anything about the film. It's just your opinion of why the film was made, and you know, you're standing on principle of you didn't ask for it. Those are not reasons why movies are bad. We didn't ask for Rogue One. That was a fucking phenomenal movie, guys.
Dude, that movie was fucking
nobody,
epic.
Nobody asked for that movie. Nobody. But they gave it to us. And sure, maybe it was a cash grab. So was Force Awakens, according to a lot of people. It doesn't make them bad movies. There are a lot of good criticisms of The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and all these movies. When you say things like it's a cash grab, so it's bad, you sound stupid, your arguments seem invalid. Make good critical analysis arguments. Don't say shit like that because it has nothing to do with the films. Anyway.
Correct. Emundo.
I just want to get out of the way because that shit pisses me off. But yeah, Solo, I give it a 7. You give it about an 8-ish, you know?
Yeah, about 7.8 maybe. Yeah.
So C minus or C for me, C minus-ish. You gave it a B like, minus.
Yeah, like yeah. B. Like, in, like if there
C
was like...
C plus, B minus.
Yeah, like somewhere in between right there. You know, I thought it was a good movie. You know, yeah. Just like slightly above average.
Yeah.
So I guess falls into the category of B minus.
I would definitely suggest seeing the movie for most Star Wars fans or Han Solo fans.
There's a lot of great nostalgic moments and stuff that you can recall to like A New Hope and stuff.
Right. And the other thing about this movie is I've seen a lot of people starting with this Star Wars fatigue thing. Knock it the fuck off. We've had 10 Star Wars movies in 40 years. Yeah.
Right.
10 Star Wars movies in 40 years. Shut the fuck up. We've had 19 Marvel Cinematic Universe movies in 10.
And nobody's complaining about the number of films.
And not to mention, you know, if you look about, you know, all the old Spider-Man movies, all the X-Men movies, all the fucking Fox movies, all the DC garbage that's come out. Nobody's complaining, you know. Okay, I complain a little bit about DC movies because they've been kind of garbage. But
right,
you know, when it's an MCU film and shit, dude, we get hyped. When it's Deadpool, we get hyped. Like we're excited to see more stories, and that's what they're giving us with Star Wars. They're expanding our universes. Like there have been millions of issues of comic books, dude. Are we tired of them yet? Clearly not. So
no.
Shut the fuck up with your Star Wars fatigue bullshit. Okay. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have for you guys. Check out our website. Check out our social media, nerdyboysreviews.com, nerdyboysreviews on everything. Buy our merch on Amazon. Show us some fucking love. We love you guys. And we're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I am an Uter.
Oh, an Uter. And as always, we have one message for you, and that's a stay a nerdy,
nerdy
boys.
Yep.